I'd like to greet each one of you tonight in Jesus' precious name. I'm going to admit a weakness of mine tonight, and I'm not sure what's happening, but I'm really shaken. I'm not sure why, and sometimes that happens, and I think sometimes it's simply for Satan to use that as a way of stumbling, to get my attention off of what I believe God has to share to us tonight. I was thinking about this message, and there are some things happening that are speaking into this very message tonight that are a great concern of mine. And so as I try not to think about those things and I'm concentrating on the message, I believe Satan is trying tonight to put a stumbling block for us here tonight. By the grace of God, we shall hear the voice of God tonight. I'd like to read you a little passage, a few verses in the book of Philippians before we go to the message. And I found these to be the very verses that I covet for my life. Oh, that one day I could get there. One day that I could be here in the book of Philippians. It says this, "And being found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know Him." You know, brothers and sisters, tonight we all beg to know Him. We want to know Him. We want to know Jesus Christ. But these next few verses we don't really want to identify with. "That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, and being made conformable unto His death." Tonight we have talked, or in the past, we have talked about Romans chapter 6, where the flesh is crucified. It dies. It's subject to death, that the will of the Lord may live and reign in our hearts. Here is Paul crying that very, very concept. "If by any means I might attain unto the righteousness of the dead, not as though I had already attained." Tonight, is there anybody here that has already attained? If you have, I want to meet with you, because I need to know more about it. "Not as though I had already attained or were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press." I often give this illustration. Have you ever watched a team of horses pull? A good, solid team of horses. And they'll hook them horses together. And those horses stand there. Many times they jitter. And they shake. And they're ready for what they know is coming. And they have this big sled behind them. And they pile, I don't know how much a team of horses can pull. I really don't know. It's a tremendous lot of weight. And at the command of the guy who is in charge of those horses, a good team of horses will literally press into those harnesses and they'll get down to the ground and every movement is together. Brothers and sisters, that's the picture of the church tonight. That is the picture of the church tonight. Unified in spirit, in a direction for the glory of God, to lift up the name of God, to praise the name of Jesus, and more souls be won for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. "For I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Are you there tonight? Are you there tonight? I trust you are. I trust that you are unified in spirit to pull, to work, to labor together for the cause of the kingdom. Listen, brothers and sisters, we have no time to waste. Jesus Christ is coming, and His soon and intimate return is going to be shown as He breaks through those clouds. And the glory of that second coming, the resurrected Jesus Christ, and you and I who are the church are going to go along. Brothers and sisters, that is a beautiful picture. That is one that I desire. That's one that I long for. I'm pressing toward the mark of that final deliverance. I would like to speak into the life of the church tonight. And brothers and sisters, if we say this is not happening, then we are blind and we are not alert to the voice of the Spirit speaking into the end times. That comes from the book of Peter, the second Peter, the second chapter. And brothers and sisters, it's urgent that we know and understand truth. I cannot stress that enough here tonight, that we know the truth. You know, in the money world, they tell me now they have gotten so deceitful with these larger bills that the tellers are having a hard time detecting whether it's genuine or whether it's false. And so they are modifying deception. Now, I'm going to tell you something here tonight. Satan is working overtime to modify deception for the church. And the church has been buying into the secular concept of a seeker-friendly church to bring down the authority of Jesus Christ in the church, to buy in, to be like them, to win them. I'm going to tell you something. It'll never happen. Think about this concept. Here's a concept of deception. I believe in my heart tonight that the Bible teaches the separation of church and state. There is no question in my mind. And I'm going to challenge you with something. How long have we been putting in Christian people into government? It's been quite a while, hasn't it? It's been quite a while. We've been hearing that cry. We've got to get Christian people into that government. We've got to get them there. Now I ask you a personal question tonight. Is our government better or worse than it was before? Huh? You answer that question yourself tonight. I'm not going to answer it for you. But is our government more righteous or more corrupt today than it's been back then? Brothers and sisters, we've got to understand that our kingdom is not of this earth. But our kingdom is a far higher calling. It's in Christ Jesus. So each kingdom has a king. I ask you tonight, which king are you following? Which king are you following? Are you following the king of the rudiments of this earth? You see, that's only one concept in many that we have bought into. And I understand today that there are more Christian people, quote Christian people, going to the polls to vote and to speak into the life of the government. Did God call us, the church, to exercise the sword, to be the avenger of those that are evildoers? I ask you tonight. And if you're going to make an argument out of it, I suggest that you use the Word of God. And if I can't find it here in the Word of God, I don't want to hear from you. Now you may say, well, Denny, you're pretty blunt. Listen, there is a point whereby the church must awaken to what is truth and what is reality, and we must live thereby. We cannot buy into this concept of deception. I want to read you something here tonight. And it's straight from God's Word. It's the authority of God's Word. It's not diluted, but it's profound and it's truth. Now, brothers and sisters, do we have that settled as we go to the Word of God? Tonight, if you do not believe in your heart that this is the Word of God, then I have a few things to speak into your life. It's not about the Word of God. It's not about Jesus Christ. It is the Word of God. And what does the book of John teach us about the Word, about flesh, about the blood, about Jesus Christ, about God? And by the way, if you're going to tell me tonight that God brought something into your life by the Spirit and it's contrary to the Word of God, I find that the truth is not in you. I find that the truth is not in you. The Word of God and His Spirit are not divided. They are not divided. And brothers and sisters, we must establish some principles when it comes to truth if we are going to refute deception. If we are going to refute deception, we must know the truth. The Bible says, know the truth, and the truth is going to do what? It's going to set you free. And so tonight, if we're filled with truth, if our heart knows and understands truth, we're going to be free. we're going to be free in Jesus Christ. Notice what this dear brother Peter had to say way back then. And I marvel at this scripture. How did he know about the last times? He seemed to know all about it, didn't he? He already knew what was coming. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now, very personal, very blunt tonight. But I feel pressed in my spirit by the Spirit of God to ask this question. Are there any false teachers here tonight? Are there false teachers in our midst tonight? And I ask you, by the grace of God, if you are a false teacher, when we get done identifying one here tonight, make yourself known. I would like to meet you. I would like to meet you. I would like to share some profound truth into your life that you have opportunity to change your heart and your way of teaching. Notice, get the picture. Be intent. Pray as we read this scripture tonight for God to speak into our hearts. What is truth? You know, Pilate stood in front of Jesus and he said, what is truth? What is truth? I ask you here tonight, what is truth? What is truth? Well, it says this, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now we want to notice the nature of a false teacher here tonight. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I'm going to tell you something here tonight. I'm going to tell you something here tonight in the life of the church. If you have a brother who is secretive, who skirts around the outside perimeters of the church like a dog on the chain, he cannot be transparent, and he cannot speak openly of what he is teaching, I'm going to tell you, beware. Beware. Pay attention. Pay attention. There is where darkness reigns, outside of the realm of church. Outside of the realm of the church. We had quite an experience here sometime in our own church. That very thing took place. We had people run around the outside of the perimeter and they were secretive about everything that they were saying and they were trying to beguile unstable souls to think like they thought. And then as time progresses, if that thing is permitted and if it's sanctified in the center of the church, you know what happens? It's like a big snowball. They begin to gain momentum. And the ball gets bigger and bigger and bigger as it heads down the hill slope of destruction. And when that snowball hits the bottom of the trail and runs right into the tree, what happens? It explodes and it goes all to pieces. That's the judgment of God that comes upon these false teachers. I want us to pay attention here tonight. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. I have seen, dear brothers of Christ, be attacked by these false teachers, and they love to twist. They love to make merchandise of a brother in Christ. They love to make him look bad. They love to make him look guilty. And they love to judge him. Love to bring judgment against him. To rail against him. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Another concept, and we're going to read this in just a bit. Another concept of these false teachers is to bring down the authority of the church and to bring down its leaders and to bring down its stable people. That's the nature of these people. And to destroy that. And to destroy that. We'll see what it says. They love to make merchandise of you with coveting hearts. It says, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, pay attention to the element of this principle, brothers and sisters. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. Tonight, picture dear old Noah. He's preaching. How long did he preach? It was a long time, wasn't it? He steadily in faith, he built the boat. He built the ark, didn't he? As he built, he preached and he taught. Hey, you think it's going to rain? What's the matter with you, man? It's never rained before. And you're building a boat of this size that's going to deliver you? What are you thinking? How many entered the ship? How many entered the ark? 8 souls. Does that speak into our hearts when it comes to the book of Matthew chapter 7 when Christ said many are called but few are chosen? Who are the few that are chosen? It's those in Christ Jesus with transformed hearts, with renewed minds who follow in obedience the authority of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something here tonight. The church is the authority of Jesus Christ. And don't you forget it. When Christ stood and was ready to go to heaven, he looked at that bunch of motley crew that he chose to be his disciples, his apostles. And what did he tell them? He gave them the charge, didn't he? And what did he tell them? He said, I want you to teach everybody that you come in contact with everything that I taught you. And I believe Christ was saying as he spoke, and don't leave anything out. Don't leave anything out. We're having another concept to these false teachers today. They go so far with teaching the Word of God, and then all of a sudden, very subtly, they slip in their dying, killing poison. They insert that. And they bring down the deity of Christ. They bring down the authority of the blood. They bring down the power. You notice what happened when the serpent came to Eve in the garden? He said, hath God really said? And if there is a person among you who constantly says, what's wrong with it? Beware. Beware. I ask the question, what's right about it? How does it edify the church? How does it glorify God? How does it bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ's precious blood? Another thing about these false teachers is this. As I bump into them all the time, they want to be noticed. They have a coveting heart to be acknowledged for what they're doing. By that, they grab the attention of unstable souls that are not quite sure where they are. And you know what they do? They bring that attention to themselves so they're able to teach into the lives of those people. And they inject their poison. They inject their poison contrary to the will of God. He spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Listen tonight, if your heart is ungodly, if you are among the false teachers, you have one thing to look forward to tonight. Judgment. Judgment. Not the blessings of the Lord, but judgment, I tell you. And it says, deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, that righteous man, as they stood there, Abraham and him, and he viewed the direction that he could go, and he looked out toward the thing that caught his attention. Listen, I'm going to tell you something here. It's somewhat of a secular concept, but it speaks into the life of the church. Not everything that glitters is gold. Not everything that looks like truth is truth. But we need to try those spirits to see whether they be of God. Whether God is filled, has filled, and is present in the spirit that is represented. Lot looked out across that plain. It looked beautiful. It caught his eyes. And Abraham said, choose you this day where you will go. And he said, I'll go toward the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. I want you to notice a progression of this righteous man. He took his tent, and our first record that we have, he was pitched outside of the cities, wasn't he? He was pitched outside of the cities. When the angels came to warn them about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, where was Lot? He was setting in the gate. What does that tell you? If he was setting in the gate, he was one of the men of the city who were controlling and running the city. Now he had progressed from outside of that city to being in that point. When the angels came to him and they said, God is going to destroy this place with fire and brimstone, Lot lingered. His heart had strongholds in that city. And the Bible teaches us at the end that the angels had to take his hand and literally help him out of that city to deliver him. You see, brothers and sisters, that's what happens with false teaching. That's what happens. But praise God. It says he was delivered, just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. How long will we as a church of Jesus Christ allow false teachers to speak in our midst? I ask you, how long? I marvel. I love Paul's approach to these things. How long did Paul stand still for a false teacher in his midst? Seems to me, as I read Paul's letters and as I watch Paul's life through the history of this book, it didn't take Paul very long to speak into the face of a false teacher. Didn't take very long. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Hallelujah tonight. God knows how to deliver the church of Jesus Christ out of the temptation of false teachers. God knows how to do that. And I'm going to tell you here tonight, if this group of people, if this local body are the Lord's, the church will prosper. But if God is not here, the church will come to naught. You know what? That's speaking into each heart that comes here time and time again. That's speaking into each heart that walks out of these doors and Monday morning speaks to a world. That's talking to each heart that's leading a family. That's talking to each wife that is either submissive or not, as we talked about the other night. That's talking to each child which chooses to live in obedience or rebellion. That's talking to us, the church. But chiefly that them walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and they despise government. Listen, test your spirit here tonight. A false teacher despises government. Across this land, as I share Jesus Christ, my heart cries. There's one voice I'm hearing. We want change. We want change. You ask them, what change do you want? I don't know, but we want change. America cried in this last election. We want change. We want change. We got change, didn't we? And today, the church is seeing change. And I'm here to tell you that a lot of that change is not of the Lord. It is not of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we must be careful. Presumptuous are they. Tonight, do you have feelings of presumptuousness? Are you self-willed? Are you not afraid to speak evil of your dignitaries? Are you not afraid to speak evil of your leaders and cut them down because whatever. Listen, the Bible says, don't establish an accusation to an elder except in the presence of two or three witnesses. Now I say this, if you are such a brother here tonight that you go to your elders and you dig into them on your own, you have some repenting to do here tonight because it's against the will of God. The Bible teaches us that in the presence of two or three elders. And I'm going to speak profoundly coming from my own heart tonight. I am not a perfect man. I am a part of a brotherhood. I am in a glass box. And you know what? My faults have nowhere to turn to outside of everybody in that church sees them. Praise God. I stand open to correction. I stand open to the voice of the church in my life. And I have been blessed that people in my church have loved me enough to say, Brother Denny, I don't think what you done was according to Scripture. And you know, my response is this: thank you, show me what it was, and I'd love to make it right with the church. You see, some of us have probably come from situations where the rod of iron, see, by the leaders have beat you down every time. So we move into other situations, and we're what I call gun-shy, okay? Did you ever see a gun-shy dog? Every time you grab the gun to go hunting, you know where the hunting dog goes? He goes to the barn. He's not satisfied to just get in the barn, but he goes under anything he can find to the furthest corner. And some of us are so reluctant to open our hearts in honesty and relationship and brotherhood that we can't do it. Oh, we relate to the pain prior to what has happened to us, and we said, we can't do this. Yet I want to be a part of a brotherhood, but I can't do this. You see? Brothers, listen. Listen. Let's see what God is speaking into the church. Let's understand what God is telling us. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord. Wow. And you know what? I am really going to expose myself here tonight. In my past, before I was ever ordained a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are times that I spoke evil of my leaders. You remember Saul? David hunted him like a dog to slay him. And David had the opportunity one night, as Saul laid sleeping, to get close enough to Saul that he cut the corner of his garment off, didn't he? He had it in his hand. He had Saul's life in his hand, didn't he? He had that opportunity. And some of his men said, David, slay him! Kill him! David said, don't you touch God's anointed. Don't you touch God's anointed. And look at the life of Saul. Here was a man that had a godly perspective of what God was teaching the authority of the church. You see? Even though Saul done him much evil. Done him much evil. David kept that integrity in the will of the Lord. And what happened? God blessed him. God blessed that man, David. God blessed him. I'm going to tell you something here tonight. If you have animosity against your leaders, if you want to reject those leaders, I want you to do something. I want you to go home here tonight. I want you to find a closet. And in sincerity and pureness of your heart, I want you to pray that God would bless those leaders. I want you to pray that God would bless those leaders. The Bible says we are to do what with our enemies? We are to bless them. That's what the Bible says. Now, it's up to God how God blesses them. It's up to God how God blesses them. But you know what God does in those situations? God has a way of blessing that destroys the animosity. God has a way of blessing that destroys the animosity. God has a way of blessing that brings down the walls. God has a way of blessing that brings down the hatred. God has a way with His authority to do things right. I can run around all night and I can talk about bad about the church. Oh, this brother in the church, he's so and so. This brother over here, he does this. And this brother here and all our leaders, they are just awful. I can do that all night. But you know what I'm doing? I'm condemning myself. I'm bringing myself to a point of damnation that God is going to pronounce upon my life for the very thing that I'm doing. Notice what he calls them. But these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things which they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Tonight, brothers, sisters, are your hearts clean? Are we clean here tonight?
shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Brothers and sisters, there are false teachers. There are false prophets among us. Among us. There are those people who are looking to beguile unstable souls. They're looking to gather a following. I am just taken back at some of the evil that is prevalent in our world today and the following that they have. One entertainer, one night, very ungodly entertainer. And I'm not going to say his name here tonight, but a very ungodly entertainer. Had a show. And my wife and I were coming home from meetings or something, and we got the tail end of the show. And the newscaster asked a young girl who called into this show, she said, "What would have you done tonight had your mother not allowed you to attend this show?" She said, "I would have ripped her heart out with mine own hands." You see? Following, believing, following to her own destruction, the damnation that God is going to bring upon those who do not speak the truth in love. Having eyes full of adultery, full of spiritual adultery. They're lusting, they're coveting, they're desiring the things of the world. They're not satisfied to have them in their own life, but they want to speak them into the life of the church. They want to teach them into the life. I had a man come to our congregation not too long ago. He just kind of flew in the back door, bombed in there, and he said, "Hey," he said, "I've been trying to call you at home, but I can't get you. Evidently, you're never home. But I knew I'd catch you here," he said. I said, "Well, yeah, what's the agenda?" "I'm here to bring down denominational walls." I said, "Hallelujah, I am ready. When are we going to start?" But I said, "We have a problem." I said, "What are we going to do? Where are we going to start?" I said, "What about homosexuality? What about divorce and remarriage? What about women leadership?" And we just went right on down the line. He said, "Well, we have to have a meeting." I said, "Okay." At the end of that meeting, he proceeded to tell me, and I've probably shared this here before, but it merits attention of deception. He told me at the end of the meeting, I married a woman that was brought to me in the spirit, but I'm divorced. What about that, brothers and sisters, tonight? Does God's spirit and his word divide? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. "Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of righteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet." Remember that story, children? The mad prophet continued to pursue. And finally he drew his sword. He was going to kill this dumb donkey. And it spoke into his life. Why was the question? Why? You see? Why? "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever." The mist of darkness is reserved forever. "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error." Oh, brothers and sisters. Is it going to happen? Are we going to permit the falseness of teaching to capture those who were once clean in error? In error. "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption." Notice this. "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." He's brought in that bondage. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." The latter end is far worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her own wallowing in the mire. I'd like to tell you a story tonight in closing about some young boys. They lived on a farm. Parents had hogs. These boys got up. They were clean. Mom dressed them freshly. They were clean. They decided through the course of the day that they would like to be pigs. They decided they would like to be pigs. They went to the back of the barn and they got down on their hands and the knees and they got in the pig mire and they began to root and to roll just as hogs do. And it was only a matter of a half hour, 45 minutes, they looked like pigs. They not only looked like pigs, they smelled like pigs. They were filthy. You see the process? And it wasn't long until Mother, I do recall, I think it was, looked around the corner of the barn. And she said one profound word, "Boys!" Now when we heard that word, "boys," we knew something was up. Mother took us to the house, and back then things were tight. You didn't get a clean change of clothes every day. I mean, you had to make these clothes last. I remember wearing some of my trousers up to 4 days before I changed. These trousers could not be worn again. She took us out in front of the house, and as I recall, she turned on the rubber hose and she said, "I've got to clean you boys up." And she commenced to cleaning us up. She sprayed us down, trying to get this awful smell off us. And when she was done, she thoroughly whipped us. She put us to bed. She said, "Now you stay in bed until I can wash your clothes and I can get you a clean set of clothes. Until then, you're done for the day." You see, there's where we are. There's where we are. We decided to be pigs. And at one point, we were pigs. What is your choice here tonight? Are you committed in your heart to follow the way of truth? Are you committed in your heart tonight to follow the way of truth regardless what the cost is? Or are you allured by the fancy words of the deceivers here tonight? Do you give a listening ear and a very compassionate heart to those who have sinned and have walked from the will of God? Oh, I must be compassionate. I agree. We must love. But you know what, brothers and sisters? I hear over and over and over again, life is not fair. I say amen. Life is not fair, but you know what? We need to deal with it, don't we? We need to deal with it. And that's where we're at with this whole concept of false teaching. We need to deal with it. We need to rise as a church, truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to rebuke those false teachers in our midst. We need to clean house. We need to clean house. But you know what happens? We're so prone to give a sympathetic ear. Oh, poor so-and-so. Poor so-and-so. And yet they have defied and violated the principles of God's Word. Why are we compassionate to sin? Why are we compassionate to sin? Why do we lend a listening ear to those that are perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ? Listen. "Awake, thou that sleeps. Come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the truth, the banner of truth that is going to stand for eternity. And on that glorious day when Jesus Christ returns, what am I going to see? I'm going to see the nail-scarred hands. I'm going to see the side that was pierced. And the blood of Jesus Christ still remains. Still remains. Oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah for truth tonight. Oh, brothers and sisters, regard it in your heart as the most precious prize that you will ever be able to dwell there. And it will continue to set you free. Don't pollute this gospel of Jesus Christ with false teaching and attempt to bless it in the name of the Lord and attempt to defile this gospel. It is the Word of Jesus Christ. It's the Word of the Lord. And I'm telling you something here tonight, no matter how I approach it, no matter what my opinion is about this Word tonight, it does not change the Word of God. And it never will. So it matters none what my opinions are. It matters none how I despise and try to defile the Word of God by my teachings. The thing that matters is the truth of Jesus Christ will stand. And triumphant it's going on. And so is the church of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something here tonight. If you choose not to go with the church, whatever you do, don't blame the church. Don't blame the church. It's a choice that you and I will have made. It's a place that we will be. But I do not want to sit down here tonight without warning you, if you choose to make that choice to begin to insert falsehood and false teaching into the Word of God, you are guilty. And God will not hold you guiltless. One day, you will pay a price. You will pay a price that you and I cannot comprehend for false teaching. Because God will bring justice. Let's pray. Father in heaven, tonight, I thank you for the profound word of Jesus Christ and you, Father. You have delivered that word tonight, and we've read it just as you desire for us to have it. Oh God, I just pray, let it sink deep into our hearts. Let us drink freely of that word. Let us regard truth and cast out iniquity. Oh Lord, that word would dwell within our hearts to set us free. Lord, I just pray that you would bless the word tonight, that you would empower it with your spirit. God, that you would empower it that we would be overcomers and the church of Jesus Christ would be pure. Oh Lord, tonight, bless your church. It's your church, God. It's not man's church, but it's your church. I pray bless and keep it. Hold back the forces of evil. Denounce the false teachers which rise to distort, to defile your word. And God, I pray, bring them to quick and swift destruction. God, that your truth may prevail. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to give you an opportunity to simply speak into what was shared. And tonight, if you are such a person, who has had a spirit of dissension against the church, if you have cried out, you have defied the church of Jesus Christ, and you have violated His holy word, I beg of you, take care of it tonight. Take care of it tonight. Is there anyone? We come before you with grateful hearts. We come before you with hearts that are rejoicing. A brother that has repented. Oh God, tonight he's clean. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. God, I just bless him for his courage, for his willingness to come, to repent, and to be set free. Lord, I pray in the future, bless him. Bless him abundantly. Fill him with your spirit. Empower him with your authority from above, that he would build the church of Jesus Christ and triumphant stand. Oh God, I pray, bless him. Hold back the forces of evil that seek to destroy him and his family. Bless his family. Bless his home and keep them from the wiles of the enemy. Oh God, bless him. I commit them to you in Christ's precious name. Amen. You're dismissed.